morning, everybody. I've got a visual aid for you here. People tell me this guy looks like me. So, there was something big that happened when I was about his age, just a couple months away from turning six. You can go sit down, buddy. So, that maybe is what I looked like. When I was nearly 6 years old, there was an assassination attempt on the life of President Ronald Reagan, President of the United States. A man emptied a six-shot revolver at Mr. Reagan from close range. As it happened, all six of those rounds missed. Unfortunately, the first two bullets struck two men who were standing near the president. The third bullet completely missed and hit a building across the street. By now, the Secret Service had shoved Reagan into his limousine, and the fourth bullet struck an agent who was shielding Reagan with his own body. The fifth bullet missed and struck the bulletproof glass on the limo. And the final round from the revolver also missed its target and struck the armored side of the president's limousine. And then something ironic happened. That last bullet ricocheted off the armored side of the limo and struck Ronald Reagan and lodged in his lung. Fortunately, the president survived the attack. The assassination failed. But isn't it interesting to think that it was a missed shot that hit him? Ironically, the limousine, which had been designed to deflect bullets away from the president, deflect a bullet into him instead. Obviously, our purpose here this morning is not to remember that assassination attempt, but a different assassination, an ancient and even more ironic assassination. Of course, on Good Friday, the leader whose assassination we remember is Jesus Christ. So remember that Christ is a title. It's a Greek word for the Hebrew word Messiah, and both of those words mean anointed, smeared with oil. And in the context of Jesus' life and times, his culture, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Christ, was the great king of Israel, promised to come and save God's people. They were expecting this great king, the Christ, to defeat God's enemies, especially Rome, and to rule on David's throne forever. They were not expecting a king who would be defeated by Rome, whipped, spit at, mocked, crucified, killed. This man could not be the Christ, the King of God's kingdom, if this is what happened to him. But ironically, Jesus' defeat was really his victory. Things are not always as they seem. Ironically, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead earlier in his ministry, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and made him alive again, that was when Jesus' enemies decided to take Jesus' life and make him dead. You see that irony there? Jesus saves and gives life, and they respond to that by wanting to kill him. And they did that because they feared that the people would falsely believe Jesus was the king, which is ironic because Jesus truly was the king. They worried that if the people believed they had found their king, there would be an uprising against Rome and the Romans would punish the whole nation. The high priest argued that it's better for one man to die, meaning that they should go ahead and kill Jesus to save their nation. And ironically, then, this murderous enemy of Jesus unknowingly predicted exactly how Jesus would win. He would win by losing. He would save by dying, because his defeat was really his victory, and things are not what they seem. So Jesus' enemies carried out their plan. He was tried as a blasphemer and a false Messiah by the Jewish people, as a traitor and a rival king of Caesar by the Romans. He was beaten and mocked, as we saw on that video and as we've read in the scriptures. The soldiers thought it was good fun to put the purple robe on him and the crown of thorns, to make fun of the very idea that anyone could possibly think this guy was a king. They bowed before him. And for them, this was ironic. This pitiful prisoner of theirs who couldn't possibly be a king, and it was so funny to bow before him. But of course, the greater irony still is that he truly was the king. Ironically, the man they mocked because he could not possibly be a king really was the king. As Jesus was suffering on the cross, people ridiculed him with words like, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we'll believe in him." How ironic that a crucified criminal, cursed by God, hanging from a cross, could possibly be thought to be a king. How ironic that this man that went around telling people how to be saved couldn't save himself. And how much more ironic then that it was precisely by not saving himself that Jesus saved us, because he died for our sins. It was precisely by dying as a false king that Jesus did what he was always meant to do as the true king. It was Jesus' defeat that was his victory. The crucified Lord was not only the true king of Israel, but the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. After his resurrection from the dead, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So things are not always as they seem. There's this tremendous irony in Jesus' death, which we remember today. Where does all that leave us? Well, it leaves us in a very ironic place. We all face a key decision and a grand irony, no matter which choice we make. It's ironic. Jesus said, "Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it." And so you can cling to your own life and be your own king, your own Messiah, your own Savior. You can rule your own life, get your own way, and do your own thing. And ironically, whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Or you can give up your life to Jesus. Live your life his way. Make him your king and Lord. And ironically, whoever loses his life for Jesus will save it.